Welcome to the X-Cast. The MSR is in here. I'm Sarah Blair, your host for our first ever shipper extravaganza. Joining me is Jen Ferguson.
Hi.
And Michelle Milbauer.
Hi.
We've got all the hand-holding, all the longing gazes, and all the non-platonic forehead sex you could ask for in this episode. I'm so excited. I feel like I've been waiting for this episode of the X-Cast just about as long as we waited for Mulder to reference Scully's Afterglow. How about you guys?
Definitely. We're stoked.
Awesome. So excited.
Let's dig in, shall we? I think it would be good, just in case there are a few people out there. I know of one, and her initials are JP. You know who you are. Who has never seen The X-Files, has never even heard of The X-Files until I mentioned it. So I know that they don't know what a shipper is. So how about for those rare flowers that are out there, we define a few shippery terms. What do you think? All right. So a shipper is what, Jen? What would you say a shipper is?
Where did the term come from? I had to try to define this for my mom a couple of weeks ago because she was listening to the podcast, and she's never watched The X-Files, so I'll have a go at explaining it as I did to her. Well, first of all, shipper is short for relationshipper, which is sort of the term that I think originally started back in the 90s, way back when I was around and following The X-Files online, and that was the term that started to emerge to refer to folks like myself who wanted to see Mulder and Scully get together in some kind of a maybe romantic relationship. And then over time, that was shortened to our shipper, I think, and then eventually just a shipper. And so it's just whoever is wanting to see Mulder and Scully get together in some fashion. So yes. That's kind of the general gist behind it.
Right. And now it's become kind of like this mainstream term. Like,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people use it and they don't even know that it came from The X-Files.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started all that.
We did. So it's kind of special to us, but we are willing and happy to share it with the rest of the world
about anything. I use it freely.
For just about anything these days. Like, I totally ship that, you know?
Yeah, it's like a verb and everything now. Right. You can say, I ship them. It's a great ship if you're talking about the relationship. So we are shippers, they have a ship, and we're shipping it all.
Exactly, yes.
Michelle? No boats involved.
Sorry, Carl. Yes, so Michelle, how about you say what MSR is?
Well,
it's a pretty common term when we were talking about shipping, right?
Most definitely. That was a term that I remember using in the chat rooms back in the 90s. And it just means Mulder-Scully relationship.
Yep. So that's pretty straightforward.
Easy to type.
Exactly. So much easier to type than Mulder-Scully relationship. So, yeah. This is, I don't know that this is necessarily an X-Files thing, but OTP, I know that was one that was used, and it took me a while to catch on to what that was, but it's, I think that Mulder and Scully definitely are OTP, which is one true pair, right?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, I have a feeling that came post X-Files, at least post the start of the X-Files, so I'm not sure who started it, but eventually we started using it too.
Right, and it definitely applies, I mean.
Definitely.
Mulder and Scully definitely are a one-true pair. Oh, this is a good one, and I hadn't heard of this yet, but it's definitely easier than typing it out. I saw Gillian Anderson wearing a t-shirt with this acronym on it, C-O-T-R.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, which comes from my very favorite episode.
Yeah.
And it means conversation on the rock.
Yeah.
So any X-Files fan, especially an X-Files fan like me who loves the episode Quagmire, you know that conversation on the rock was pretty pivotal in, you know, MSR and shipperdom and all that. So, yeah. So why don't we, now that we've got a few of the terms that we're going to be throwing around defined and out there, why don't we dig in and talk about what it means to be a shipper, like, to you guys personally? Because I know I thought that, you know, like, back in the day when I was on AOL, and I would always go through and I'd look for, you know, you could choose what chat room you wanted to be in, and every chat room had a different name and based on the subject matter. So I'd always look for X-Files, Shipper, and either spoiler or no spoiler, depending on if I'd seen the episode or not, which I always had because I was obsessed with it. So I never, you know, I was always sitting there recording the episode. Yeah, so I would always choose the, you know, shipper chat rooms and all that to go into. But then they also had the non-shipper chat rooms. So it's kind of a divisive thing. But So I didn't realize, because I always went into the shipper rooms, all these years later, I didn't realize, you know, there's all these different levels of shippers. And I thought that it was just the basic, you know, well, I think Mulder and Scully should have a romantic relationship or not. But it's like, now that I've talked more to people, you know, there's a lot of nuance to it. So what do you think, Michelle, like, how do you define being a shipper? Like, what do you think it is to you?
Well, I mean, for me, it comes down to basically that definition of the term. I was always, or I can't even say I was always, but once I realized, I guess, I was a shipper, it was, okay, these two people belong together, and I'm all for that, as long as we don't suddenly become this nonstop soap opera. It becomes more about the relationship than it does the cases and the weirdness and the real heart of the show. Like I said, I can't really define when I became a shipper or realized I was a shipper. And now trying to watch again, there's revisionist history, I guess, because you can watch every episode and find something that points to, ooh, that's really shippy. Oh, he held her hand longer than he really needed to there. You know, they were standing awfully close together. But, once I decided, yep, I think these people should be together, these characters belong together, I didn't have a problem with it being on the show. I had, I guess, more of a problem with it not being on the show.
Yeah.
Like, when we're still supposed to believe this is all just platonic, even though, come on, Chris, really? Because I know that there is a sect of shippers that are all well and good that Mulder and Scully are together and it's not platonic and whatever. They just don't really need to see it, which is a valid point. Yeah. Like, hey, whatever happens in between episodes, you know, sure, fine, whatever. But they were still more into the mythology or the monster of the week or, you know, the X-File as opposed mm-hmm. to the relationship.
Yeah. Jen, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a variety of different kinds of shippers, from folks sort of at, I guess, sort of one end of the continuum to be like, it's the only reason they watch the show, and they want a very sort of traditional romance, perhaps, something that, you know, that you might see on any other show, and they want Mulder and Scully to get married, they want them to have kids, they want to see a wedding. Mm-hmm. And then sort of on the other end of the scale, which I'm probably a little closer to, are folks that it just kind of adds to the show. It's just sort of part of why they watch it. I probably am a little closer to that end, although really it's the main reason I watch it, being honest. But I don't want that to be the only element of the show. That's not the only thing that appeals to me. It's the combination. It's like you can't have one without the other for me. It's like the relationship aspect of the show with kind of the mystery, the kind of all the procedural stuff, the myth arc, those things go together. And I wouldn't have much interest in the myth arc, for example, if not for the relationship. And I probably wouldn't have as much interest in the relationship if not for all the other sort of cool mystery stuff going on. So they go kind of hand in hand for me, pun intended. And I mean, from the beginning, probably I wouldn't have gotten into the X-Files if not for kind of the MSR angle. It's not the only reason I watched, but it's the reason I got obsessed, probably. And from pretty early on, it was kind of like, that was kind of what kept me going. That's kind of, you know, as Michelle says, you can look back and look at kind of like, ooh, where's all the Shipper moments? I was looking for those from the very beginning. It's like, that was what I was living off of from one week to the next. So, and as well as the couple of folks online that I communicated with. So that was kind of, that was our main sort of driving interest as fans, but we, you know, we loved all aspects of the show. So, for me, being a shipper personally is about, that's the part of the show that I like the most, but it's not the only part of the show that I'm interested in.
Right. Yeah. I'm totally with you guys. I think, you know, back in the day, I was when I was really in my height of obsession, which is not saying much because I'm still completely obsessed 25 years later. But, you know, I mean, I was coming of age when I was really into the show. And, you know, like 15, 16, 17 years old, that's like when you're, you know, learning all kinds of things. And so I was all like, had starry eyes and, you know, it's like Mulder and Scully, ah, you know. But, like, I was all about, like, they should definitely kiss. And, you know, the hot second the Barbie dolls came out, I was, like, get them out of the box and making them kiss. So, you know, I definitely wanted the kissing. But, like you guys, it doesn't completely define the show for me. I'm okay with them, you know, not, I don't want the romance to be the number one focus of the show. I don't want it to be a soap opera about the relationship, but I think the relationship stuff goes hand in hand with the characters, and you can't develop the characters in the kind of relationship that they need to have with each other as humans without developing the romance. So to me, it's an integral part of who these characters are, because you can't spend that time with another person. You can't give of yourself what these two characters gave to each other without having some kind of special connection. I don't know that platonic really cuts it in this case, because, I mean, I don't know how you can really want to truly, genuinely give up your life for somebody without
there being more at stake.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think to deny and pretend that this is a platonic thing is really sort of taking away from the characters quite a bit, because there's so much more that can be developed between them. So I'm all for the MSR, I'm all for the shipping, just because I feel like it really enhances the characters and makes them human, and I want to see the human part of these two characters.
And definitely. I think the tease that we got ultimately ended up being, you know, excessive. I mean, 25 years, come on. Really?
Right.
But, I mean, conversely, had they fallen into bed, you know, episode 4...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, they probably strung us along a little farther than they needed to, but, we kept going back for more.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing about the MSR is it's unique in the sense that it's not a traditional romance by any means, but speaking for myself, I don't want it to be either. So, you know, absolutely. If they'd fallen into bed by episode 4, or really episode 1, mm-hmm. let's get right down to it. I probably would have lost interest pretty fast, because, you know, you can see that anywhere on TV. But, right. You know, the MSR is a unique kind of relationship. It's definitely not platonic, but it's not traditional sort of romance or sex either. It's something that you don't see anywhere else. It's something that's a one-of-a-kind kind of thing on television. And I'm not sure we'll ever see anything quite like it again. And that's what makes it special.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I mean, it's one of those things that... I know originally Fox did not want Gillian Anderson to be Scully. And, I mean, you look back at that and you think, what in the world were they thinking? I mean, the chemistry between those two actors, between David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, even later on when there were rumors that they didn't get along and whether that's true, not true, whatever, wow. On screen, I mean, they made you believe that they were in love with each other, that they hated each other, that they were genuinely terrified for each other. And I'm not sure what other actors of the time you could get that would have that chemistry that would keep us with a vested interest for 25 years. I mean, that's also an astounding thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that the casting is absolutely integral to the way the relationship worked out. I don't think it would have worked out with any other pairing aside from Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny, because they brought so much to the role. Really more, I think, than Chris Carter ever was necessarily planning to. They just kind of, Mulder and Scully took on a life of their own, and I think it's because of the actors behind it. And yeah, they just had something magical that that you don't often see.
Yep. Yeah, that was my next question.
Oh!
No, you guys are great. Ahead. No, it was perfect. So, yeah, like, I totally agree with you guys on that, because I don't think any other pairing would have really... I think the chemistry between those two is really what makes it special and makes it irresistible. And, I mean, it's really hard to find that between two actors, and I don't think I've really seen it except probably on Outlander, and that's pretty recent. Just to have be able to put two actors together, and they just, I mean, it's like fire. Just burn up the screen.
Yeah,
just
they don't
the way
have
they
to,
look
they
at each other. Yeah.
Exactly. They don't have to say anything, even. Just they don't have to do anything. They just have to look at each other, and
yes.
That's enough.
It's amazing. And, you know, it's like that line Mulder has, I do not gaze at Scully. You're like, oh, you do. Yes, sir.
We know otherwise.
Absolutely. So do you feel like the online community really made the shipper movement possible? I mean, do you think this would have developed into what it's become without the internet? Or without, like, all the chat rooms or anything like that? How much do you think being able to be online and chat with other fans about this kind of stuff really kind of turned this into something bigger than what it started out as?
I think it definitely did in terms of how we as fans perceive it. For me, certainly it did. Because, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, watching the early seasons, I'd be looking at it and saying, are other people seeing what I'm seeing here? Because, you know, mm-hmm. It was all very subtle, and it's like, what's going on here exactly? So it was nice to kind of talk to other people that are like, oh yeah, we're seeing the same thing that you're seeing. We all are seeing it. There's something going on here, and we can all see it. So I think it definitely fueled that fire, and maybe 1 week you maybe missed some key little look or something, and someone else will say, oh yeah, did you catch when he looked at her at that moment? It's like, well, let me rewind my tape and check that out. So
yeah, exactly.
It definitely influenced my take on it. Sort of conversely, I think, I certainly don't think it had, in my opinion, a lot of influence on the show itself.
Right.
If anything, I feel like there's, you know, among non-shippers, there became such a pushback against shippers to a certain extent that, and I think maybe that there was I don't know how much awareness there was about this sort of amongst Chris Carter and the other creators, but I think if anything, shippers got a little bit of a bad reputation. I think we still do sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, yeah, like, no, all these crazy shippers want to have kissing on this show. We are not going to give that to them because they'll right. just go crazier and they'll take over the fandom. So
yeah, yeah. And it's kind of considered, you know, lowbrow and, you know,
yeah.
whatever. Like, no, like, we just want what's already there to be on screen. That's all.
Like, exactly. I hate to break it to you, but you made this. It's happening.
Right. Yeah.
We are just the ones who are acknowledging what's obviously in front of us. So, yeah, we're not all squealing teenagers. It's like, you know, we're just being real here. This is what's
exactly.
going on, and we like it.
Yeah. Michelle, what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. I think definitely the online community, even as it was then, which is drastically different than it is now, really enhanced my viewing of the show, and just having somebody else to talk, type with about it was a great experience, because I literally grew up in the middle of a cornfield. I mean, just tiny town. I don't know that I knew anybody or was friends with anybody in real life that actually watched the show. So to be able to go online after it aired and just, you know, the shippy stuff most definitely, but even non-shippy stuff, like, oh, wasn't that crazy when whatever happened, and to have somebody to share that interest with was great. And even with the internet and social media and everything as it is now, I don't know that there are many other shows, or certainly not ones that I watch, that have that same interaction. I mean, things now with, you know, spoiler worries for every show, especially streaming, people can't, you know, you can't necessarily watch something and then immediately go online and be like, hey, did you see this, that, or the other thing? Except maybe with Game of Thrones, because that's also a weekly. But with binging and everything else, just the way people consume media is so different that you don't get the same experience now. But I did notice all of us old school fans that were in those chat rooms back in the day after the episodes and rewatches and everything else were kind of out in force during these revival seasons, or this 10 and 11, because while it wasn't the chat rooms per se, Twitter was a blast after the episode.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like it all came back again. It's like, yes. I feel like I'm right back in the 90s, that whole vibe of let's all talk about this. And you kind of gravitate towards other people online that kind of are into the same aspects of the show that you are. So, you know, I tend to kind of communicate a lot with shippers and that kind of thing. So it's great. It's like a flashback to the 90s, except it's like, it's that much more immediate now, of course, you know, something like Twitter, it's a little bit more punchy and quick, and, you know, we can do pictures and GIFs and videos and all kinds of great things.
Can you imagine
now
how fun those chat rooms would have been? We've been able to have GIFs and all that. Yeah, it'd be so fun.
It's so fun. I think Michelle's absolutely right. It really added to my enjoyment, especially season 11. I wasn't as into Twitter for season 10 personally, but for some reason when season 11 rolled around, I'm like, let's do this. And about halfway through the season, I really started getting into sort of X-Files Twitter, and I was like, wow, I wish I'd known this had been here all along. It's awesome. I love it. So I still hang out there. It's still a lot of fun to communicate with fans, especially about, you know, different shows that people are rewatching. Let's talk about the shipper moments, just like we did back in the old days. Let's talk about the shipper moments from an episode from season 2. It's great.
Yeah, it's so fun. And I mean, I remember when I was in high school, my peers were watching the show, but then they just go about their lives. And, you know, I'd come to school Monday morning and be like, guess what, guys? Did you see the show? Did you do this? And then I'd, like, be all buzzing about it. And they're like, yeah, we saw it. And then they'd, like, go on. And I'm like, you mean you haven't watched it 6 times already? And I was I'll never forget the first time I saw Quagmire. And it was still on Friday nights. And I was spending the night at my best friend's house. And, you know, we sat down and watched. She liked the show, but, you know, she wasn't like me. And, you know, we sat in her basement and watched it. And the whole conversation on the rock, I was just, like, riveted. and then it was over, and I was like, oh, I was like, let's talk about this. What just happened? They, like, practically made out. And she was just like, yeah, let's go upstairs. I'm like, no, wait. I was like, don't you understand what just happened?
Yeah, that was it, because, like, it was hard enough to find someone IRL in real life that liked The X-Files at all, let alone someone who was into it at the level that I was into it and was a shipper like I was, too. So it was just, you know, those things were very rare to find and a lot easier to find online. So, the second the episode would end, my husband could tell you, I'd be over at our very old Macintosh computer, logging on to alt.tv.xfiles, and I couldn't wait. I just could not wait to see what other people were saying so that I could sort of go on about all these things.
Yeah, totally.
The online community also made it great, because you could talk about these things and people would know what you were talking about. I mean, really, you take any episode, Monster of the Week, mythology, it doesn't matter. Explain that plot to someone who's not familiar with the show. Right. They look at you like, have you had a stroke? Like, what what are you talking about? None of this makes any sense. So it was just great to have people to talk with about it that shared the passion, but also, I mean, if you were front face-to-face with them in real life, they may still look at you like you're out of your mind, but at least, you know, like minds, I guess. So yeah. It was refreshing, I guess, to have that, because I know in my tiny little town, if I tried to explain somebody what happened in the episode Ice, they'd be like, and you didn't change the channel?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, try explaining the plot, and try explaining, for me, it would be all about, like, and then for just a second at the end, their hands touched.
Yeah, right.
Like, and it was amazing!
So.
But you don't understand why this is so important!
Yeah, try explaining Arcadia to a five-year-old like I did this morning. But mommy, is it just dirt? Yeah, it's just dirt. It's trash monster. But why is it a monster? Because. But you don't understand. This episode is important because Mulder and Scully pretend to be married, but they're not really married. But it's really fun to just pretend.
Controversial statement. I don't care for Arcadia. I know, I'm sorry, I just don't.
The plot is ridiculous.
It's yeah.
The dumbest
and
monster.
And I know it's supposed to be over the top, but it was just too, the whole thing, I roll my eyes. I mean, you know, it's mindless, it's fun enough, I guess, but it's not one that I think, okay, I'm just gonna put on a random episode of the X-Files. Oh, okay, Arcadia. No.
Yeah. No. You know what, Michelle? I am with you on this one, Michelle. Actually, I know maybe this makes us bad shippers. I don't know, but I know that for a lot of shippers, they love that episode. But it doesn't really ring my bell. It's like, yeah, it's cute, but it's like, I don't want to see like pretend Mulder and Scully pretending to be in love. I want to see the real thing. So I understand there's overlap in the episode, but. Yeah, no, it doesn't really ding my dong, but I'm mostly about the angst episodes anyway. So anything that doesn't involve, like, someone crying at some point, then it's never going to land on my, like, top 10 shipper ups.
How do you guys feel about 3?
No. No.
No?
No. No, I don't.
Really?
I can't bear it. Can't bear it. I've only watched it literally like a couple of times. I mean, I probably wouldn't have watched it as many times as I have if not for the fact that it was on at the time, of course, between Ascension and One Breath. So, you know, back in the day, we were like, this is going to be a super important episode. Let's all watch it. And no, I mean, it's really hard for me. And anytime I see Mulder and Scully with someone other than Mulder and Scully, and I know it didn't really mean anything, blah, dee, dee, blah, but no, I cannot stand it. Can't stand it. Can't stand any time Mulder's with Phoebe Green or Diana Fowley or anything like that. Can't stand when Scully is with Ed Jurst. Nope. Can't do it.
See, I feel... Michelle, what do you think?
MSR or lack of MSR in 3 is only part of the problem. The story is just so ridiculous. You've got a bread bowl full of blood in your oven. Like... And I know there's supposedly some folklore, I don't know. It's just, yes, it's a filler episode. It's also another one. If it's on, it was on BBC America because they've been doing their marathons. Uh-huh. And so it was like, yeah, it's on. The X-Files is on. I'm not changing the channel, so there it is. But it's another one I don't seek out. Same thing with Never Again. It's not a terrible episode. I wouldn't say it's the worst episode that was made. But I don't...
Yeah, I think in 3 especially, like, the Mulder angst over Scully and all that is, like, so much, like, I just love it. I love any time I can get Mulder angst. I don't care what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting there on the hillside as, you know, there's supposedly fires in the background, and he's just sitting there so forlorn and looking at her cross that he's wearing on a very, very long chain. Anyway, that was my random thought of the moment. I mean, there's definitely Mulder angst there, and you can see this is all he's trying to fill the void because he's just crushed that in his mind he lost Scully. He let Duane Barry take her, and she's who knows where at this point. But I mean, once again, it's not the worst episode that's been made, but I don't seek it out.
Yeah. See, yeah, like, that's... fire makes me ragey, though. When he's kissing Phoebe, that's when I get riled up.
I think fire is hilarious in that it's not very far into the run, and we already get jealous Scully.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's looking at Phoebe with daggers. That's kind of awesome.
Right? Like, my partner. But I think part of that is, you know, and that's what I love about this is because their relationship is on so many levels. You've got, like, Mulder and Scully partners, which is its own special bond. And then you've got romantic Mulder and Scully, which is its own special bond. And so they interweave and overlap, and then you've got friends Mulder and Scully, which is a special thing. So it's like all these different layers to their relationship, and it's only season two.
Yeah,
and you know, Scully's jealous for a lot of reasons because, you know, she knows it's Mulder's ex, but she also knows that Phoebe's in law enforcement. And like, what for all Scully knows, Mulder's gonna run off and like go join the Interpol or whatever and just leave her behind after she's sacrificed, you know, all this, you know, she's in Tombs and Squeeze, she literally chooses Mulder over climbing a ladder. So that's like a really big step for her, and she's given this up for him, and he's going off to like make out with this Phoebe person.
And I think she's just kind of fed up with him at that point, too. It's kind of, because he's been... The one thing I like about Mulder and Fire is that at least he's kind of aware that Phoebe's bad for him and that theirs is a toxic relationship, but yet he's still somehow under her spell, apparently. But so she kind of knows all this about him already and knows about this about the relationship, and I feel like she looks at them together and she's like, seriously, Mulder? Like, you're gonna be this? Like, you know better than this. Why do men have to be like this? So... That's kind of, I feel like she's just rolling her eyes like, God, he can be stupid sometimes. So, as much as it is about jealousy, I think it's also about kind of like, God, he's being really stupid right now. But, you know, I think it becomes pretty clear that that Mulder realizes that Phoebe's a bad idea, and she is. it's kind of, I don't get as upset about Phoebe Green as I get about Diana Fowler. I feel like he has more genuine feelings for Diana Fowley than he had ever had for Phoebe. And I think Scully genuinely is jealous in those episodes.
Well, in my opinion, they'd already slept together, so yeah.
Yeah.
The scene where Gillian Anderson goes toe-to-toe with Mimi Rogers was great.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I did... in retrospect, have to wonder how big of a apple box Gillian Anderson had to stand on to make that more even. But that was just great because she just, you could tell she wanted to just take her out back and kick her down the street, which would have also been fun to see.
Oh, yeah, I was all for that. Yeah,
drag her out by her hair. Yeah. Seriously.
Do it, Scully, do it.
Yes. So, no Fowley apologists here. Sorry, Kurt. We'll have to get you down on the next round. we already talked about some of our favorite scenes. And, you know, the online community and everything, plus this desire for everyone to want to see these two characters get together, made something else very special happen, which was fanfic. So, fanfic, just in case you've lived under a rock for the past 25 years and you don't know about it, it's fiction that people write using the characters to make, you know, stuff they want to happen. A lot of times, that's the sexy times, because we don't get to see that on screen. So we fill in the blanks with what we want to happen, and that's fun. So... Do you guys read the fan fiction? Because I remember when I first discovered it, and I was like, it was like light came down from the heavens, and the angels sang, and I was like, what is this? What is happening here?
You can get quite an education there.
Yes. So I learned quite a bit from reading fan fiction.
I have to confess, and this probably is going to make me a bad shipper in a lot of people's eyes, is that I'm not into fanfic. I'm sorry, everybody. but, I mean, it's good writing. I certainly am not one of these, you know, fanfic snobs who thinks, like, oh, fanfic, it's not real writing. It's definitely real writing, and there's some great writing out there in the fanfic world. But for some reason, it feels like it's cheating somehow to me. It's kind of like, but this isn't like what was on the screen. And I'm just used to Mulder and Scully being a screen experience, not a, like, literary experience. So I feel kind of weird reading it. So I'm sorry, I'm not really into fanfic. But I appreciate those that are.
Silly Michelle, how about you?
Yeah, I fully admit I have read fanfic, and a lot of it's like, oh boy, this is what we're doing. Okay, next, because wow, brain bleach, and move on from that. There is a lot, and some of it is better than others by far. I couldn't name titles if I had to, but I mean, there have been some that are written in a way where it feels like the characters. It's something you wouldn't necessarily have ever seen on the show. Because some of it wouldn't even air on Cinemax. It's real. Educational and definitely non-platonic. But, yeah, I mean, some of it is very well written, very well done, and then there's other stuff that is just so far into left field that I can't do. But I definitely, you know, appreciate the talents of the people that are putting that out there, because, as I said, a lot of it's very, very well written. And then there's smut, but to each their own.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I embraced the X-Files fan fiction fully and wholly. The smuttier the better. I was all for it. I went to a Christian high school and a private school, and I printed out some stories and kept them in a folder to read at my desk.
Nice.
I probably would have been suspended if anybody had known. But thank goodness that was 18 years ago, not to, like, give away my age or anything, but, you know, so I'm sure they're not going to, like, expunge my record. But, yeah, like, fan fiction was, once I discovered it, and I, like, read a whole bunch of it, I was like, I didn't even know this was allowed. And, I mean, back in the day, we had to be real secret about it. And it was, like, this really special thing that, you know, and everybody put the disclaimers, like, these are not my characters. I don't want these. And there was even, like, almost not a competition, but to see who could write the funniest disclaimers. So that was a lot of fun, and I never actually posted anything online, but I definitely wrote my own fan fiction, and I have since then, and it was actually how I started writing, because up until then, I didn't even realize, you know, like, hey, I can borrow these characters and, like, make my own stories. That's cool. So, you know, and it was, I didn't have to show anybody. I didn't, you know, have to do any of that. I could just write for fun. And that's how I got into writing in the first place, was writing X-Files fan fiction. And I was never, ever brave enough to actually post it online, but and have, you know, other people read it. But it did help eventually build my confidence and helped me, you know, want to become an actual writer and make up my own stories. So it's kind of important for me. And I know, like, people are still writing X-Files fan fiction. I still write it, like, when I get stuck on my own stories and I need to just get the words flowing, I'll sit down with Mulder and Scully and, you know, hack out something really fast and try to, like, you know, get my mind going again. And it actually works really well. So, yeah, I love fan fiction. It's fun. But, yeah, that's one of the fun parts of being a shipper, is being able to have that if you so choose. But yeah, and there's a couple of really interesting stories out there. It's fun to trade stories and, you know, There's even fanfic stories that I think about years and years later that I haven't read. And, I mean, people would write novels. So it's pretty intense. But, yeah, it was a good time. Fanfiction and all that. So how do you think, like, I know season 11 brought us many, many shippy moments. Do you think that was due to a progression of the characters themselves, or do you think it was more like Chris Carter's like, all right, fine, this might be the last time we're going to do this, so we'll give you what you want, or a combination of the two? And would you say season 11 is the shippiest season out of all the seasons?
Season 11, I think, is the most blatantly shippy season. But, I mean, part of that may also be because it was so short. There were only 10 episodes. Whereas when we would get 24, 25 in the original run per season, maybe those moments were stretched out more. But, I mean, we got plus one. We got all the banter in this. The conversation in the church and Nothing Lasts Forever. I'm not even going to talk about My Struggle 4.
Don't. Skip it.
Nope. But, yeah, I mean, there were moments or entire episodes this season that were completely devoted to their relationship. And while in season 10, it was acknowledged that their relationship had been strained and they had separated, and we didn't get any information as to how long that separation was or how estranged they were. But the rebuilding of that in season 11 felt right. But so, yeah, I mean, like I said, revisionist history, you go back and watch from the very beginning and you find stuff that you can retroactively say, well, that was really shippy and this was really shippy. Whereas watching it the first time, you may not have thought so much about it until, you know, we became fully devoted shippers and you started actively looking for it.
Like, where do you think you guys fall in the whole realm of shippiness? Like, when you really became a fully fledged shipper, was it like season 3-ish probably?
No, it was season 1 for me. Yeah. I think it was when I watched Tombs, actually. At least that's when I remember specifically kind of shipping it up a little bit, is watching Tombs. When, of course, we have Scully saying, I wouldn't put myself on the line for anyone but you. And I was like, swoon! So,
sexy words that you could ever hear.
I was a pretty casual X-Files fan until I became a shipper. I was sort of half watching it in season 1, but once the shipper brain kicked in for me, that was it. All in, total shipper from the beginning, pretty much. So yeah, no, I was a shipper almost before I was an X-Files fan, if that makes any sense. Becoming a shipper made me a really serious X-Files fan, so it was always, they were one and the same for me.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
I want to say for me it was more into season 2, especially with the abduction arc. And in one breath, specifically, when he is waiting in his apartment and he's going to get his revenge on the people that X has told him are responsible. And then he decides he'll go and be with her instead of getting revenge. His speech to her in the hospital was, to me, something that wasn't just, hey, you're my partner, you're my friend, come back. And then the scene after he leaves and goes back to his apartment and sees that it's been trashed by these people who think they're going to find something on him there. Duchovny's performance was just amazing. And I think that may be the point where it was like, okay, there's more than just these two are friends. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, my good buddy, my best friend may be ill, and I'm going to be distraught at the thought of losing that person, but the portrayal of that was more than just, oh man, I'm going to lose my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from that point on, that was, I guess I would have to say that was the point where it was like, yeah, these two belong together. I'm going to ship everything I can find.
Yeah.
And also then retroactively going back and watching Beyond the Sea when Scully goes back and confronts Luther Boggs because she thinks that he set them up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just in his face screaming at him. It was like, oh, wow, this was happening long before my teenage brain figured it out.
Yeah. Teenage brains, yeah. yeah, I mean, like, you don't climb up on top of a gondola thing on the side of a mountain for somebody you don't completely love, I don't think.
Right.
That's, like, really intense. So, yeah, I can't remember. I know that I was a shipper, like, end of season, because I really started watching the show every single week, like, right around 7:31, I see, and those episodes. But I kind of feel like it was just always in my brain that they were in a relationship together or something. Like, I knew there was more to it, but then I think, like, my full-on shipper moment happened probably in Quagmire. It's probably why I love that episode so much, because it was, that's really when I kicked in, like, full-on shipper mood. Because I kind of, like, I mean, it was something that was always sort of there, I guess, but then I was like, oh, after that conversation, I was like, they're so in love with each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that was, like, the COTR, man, that's, like, a big moment for me, apparently. It's like a therapy session here.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I know we've talked about a few moments, but what are some of your most top favorite, like, I can't pick just one, really, but are some of your most favorite, the ones that you go back and watch? Repeatedly.
What shipper doesn't absolutely love and swoon every time they watch it? The baseball scene in The Unnatural.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Hands before hips. Hips before hands.
Hips before hands.
Oh my god.
That, and also in the same episode when they're being all flirty over a tofutti rice dreamsicle, which sounds gross, but okay.
But her lips touched the ice cream, and then his lips touched the ice cream, and it was basically they were just making out right there in the office.
This is what we over have to, faux ice cream.
Yeah.
And he grabbed her arm. I mean, come on. It was like skin contact there.
Oh, yeah. That's super flirty.
Yeah. And
I tend not to like, I mean, I love the flirty scenes, but I tend to prefer the angsty scenes.
Yeah.
So my favorites tend to be more like the hallway scene in Fight the Future.
Uh-huh.
With the inopportune bee. what I like about that scene, I mean, I like a lot of things about it, but the thing I like the most is the intensity of it, the intensity of the emotion when, you know, Mulder's saying what Scully really means to him, and Scully is just so, like, taken aback, and it's so beautiful, and it's all so beautiful. So that's more my kind of a shipper scene. It's the flirty stuff is fun, but it really gets me when it's like, oh, I'm getting all the feels. It's it's kind of, it's sweet, it's romantic, but it's also kind of touching and maybe a little sad and a little bit like all of those things at once. That's what kind of does it for me.
Right.
So
I imagine then also the scene in, and I'm going to butcher this name because I don't know how to say it, in MR Fatty 2 after Biogenesis, when she's in the hallway and she comes to tell him that Fowley is dead, and she's really upset because, you know, I didn't trust her, but I know you did, and that was a really sweet scene.
Yeah. Is it Memento Mori where they have the hallway forehead sex?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, love. That's one of my top favorites. Absolutely. Everything about Memento Mori, I love.
Why does all this sweet stuff happen in hospitals?
Right. Honestly, it's always all the best. I mean, last week on Twitter, I for some reason felt compelled to post my five favorite hospital scenes in The X-Files, but then I realized, like, most of my favorite scenes in The X-Files happen in hospitals.
Yeah.
It's just, like, that's what all the emotions
triangle,
come out.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Memento Mori, Redux 2,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tithonus has a hospital scene at the end that I love.
Did you notice in that episode, I watched a clip recently. I haven't rewatched that episode, but somebody had posted a clip. And he comes to visit her in the hospital after she's been shot. And the little weenie agent that shot her has scampered out. And he Mulder threatens him with death. And then he goes in and visits Scully. And he grabs her hand, but they do this...
Yes.
Like, secret handshake, fist bump, like...
It's awesome!
It's great!
I love it! Like, they both do it at the same time as though, like, it's something they know how to do. And it's
right.
Just, like, it's somehow emblematic of, like, their chemistry that, like... it's probably nothing they've ever done before, but somehow this weird sort of secret handshake, thumb fight, handhold thing emerges, and they both seem to know exactly what to do. So it's just like, we're just in sync here, and I love that part of it. Love it.
It's
awesome. And then and the I just have to throw in a little shout out to the hospital scene in Dead Alive as well. Of course, when Mulder wakes up.
Yes.
That's like all the feels. So love it, love it, love it.
Or the hospital scene before she gets to see him. When Doggett's trying to talk her out of it, and it's kind of like, God, you're such a jerk, get out of the way. I mean, you understand that he's looking at her best interest, but she is about to lose what's left of her mind, and you're blocking the way. Move!
Yeah, all of the emotions are always running high in the hospitals. Yeah, it's like, you know, when they're together at each other's bedsides, those are super intense. But, like, anywhere in the hospital that there's a scene happening, there's always, like, the feelings are always running high. Like, when Mulder first arrives at the hospital in one breath and he's yelling at everybody, it's just, like, everything is just ratcheted up. And it's like, they could set every episode in the hospital, I'd be good with that.
There were times where it seemed like they almost did.
Yeah.
This scene, the opening scene in The Red and the Black.
Oh, yeah.
When he is walking across the dam and he sees they're zipping up a body bag, and you can feel that his heart stops when he sees the shock of red hair. And then when he realizes, of course, it isn't her, the relief there. And then when she wakes up in the hospital, just completely like, wait, what? And sees this on the news.
That one made my top five of hospital scenes because, it's just, again, just so intense. And Scully is just so confused, but she's just so looking to Mulder to fix it and to make sense of it for her. Like, she's really like, you know, Mulder, fix this for me. Explain this to me. Make me feel better. Of course, he can't at that moment, but love it.
And then when she's under hypnosis.
Okay, you want to make sure that anybody that can possibly be hearing that scene knows what's really happening. It sounds real bad.
Accidental? I don't know.
Accidentally on
purpose. Aside from that... I think it's sweet how she's hypnotized, but she automatically reaches for him.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's always like her, because throughout the X-Files, especially early on, it's a confusing world for Scully. It's very stressful for her because her beliefs are constantly being challenged and she's being exposed to these crazy things that she didn't imagine existed. And so Mulder is her touchstone, to steal their term. He really is that. He's the center for her. He's her constant. He's the one thing that makes sense to her with all this crazy stuff going on. And she really counts on him to kind of be her guide through this crazy world. And she wants to be there. She wants to be a part of it. But she needs him to be able to sort of survive it. And that's important to her.
Absolutely. And we can't forget about the dance in Postmodern Prometheus.
It's very sweet.
Gotta bring that up. I mean...
It's so sweet.
Am I the only one that's completely left grinning ear to ear after that scene?
Oh, no. You're not the only one.
You're not alone in that.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those episodes that, like, in my mind, I think of it as when I'm thinking of shipper episodes, Postmodern Prometheus pops into my head. But really, that's the only scene that's super shippy. I mean, there's a vague shippiness throughout the episode. But really, it's just that one scene, but that's enough. I mean, lots of episodes that I think of as shipper episodes, really, it's just, like, one scene that makes it. The rest of it's pretty ordinary. Like, Like, I think about Millennium, for example, where we had their first kiss. That is, like, not a romantic episode at all, at all. And you, I mean, you wouldn't know that a kiss was coming, that's for sure, if it hadn't been spoiled ahead of time. And then, you know, out of nowhere, at the end, boom, here's a kiss. So it's like, sometimes it's just that one scene. But that one scene is so great that it's enough to make the whole episode awesome.
Right, and then you've got Detour, which is basically should be almost all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
So, you know, or not Detour. I love that. Drive. No. Yeah, Detour.
Yeah.
I always Detour. Get Drive yeah, Detour. And Detour messed up in my head.
Yeah, fair enough.
They
yeah.
get swapped because they're both about cars. And,
yeah, and they yeah. both start with D. Yeah. I understand. It happens to me all the time. Yeah. No.
But yeah, I watched Detour this morning, and like it's pretty much nonstop shipperness. Because you've got
it really is.
You've got the partners, and they're all like, "So what about you guys?" And Mulder yeah. and Scully are like, "Mm-hmm." And then she comes yeah. with the wine, and he's like, "Sorry, Scully, gotta go. We've got an X file." It's like, Mulder, get your head out of your ass, man. She's
yeah,
like,
come on.
Ready to get it on with you and get you drunk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
take your clothes off and you run away. Oh, Mulder.
Yeah, that's definitely that one definitely has a shippy vibe the whole way through. Yeah. So yeah, that's one of my faves.
Yeah.
And a
good.
Lot of season 8.
Oh yeah.
Also. Especially I mean, even the ones where Mulder is still missing. There is so much there that I mean, it's clear that once again, just like he wasn't just upset because his friend and his partner are missing. It's, I mean, aside from the Requiem bombshell at the end, which at that point we're still led to believe, okay, well, I can't imagine who else's kid this is going to be, unless we're really not seeing a whole bunch of what happens between these episodes. But, I mean, there's just a lot. And then within and without to open season 8, her reaction and her behavior at the loss of him and a loss of Mulder or missing Mulder and chucking the cup of water in Doggett's face because he was a dick.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then of course, Kurt had mentioned, so we're going to bring you up again, Kurt, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago now that he had watched This Is Not Happening. And the entirety of that really is very shippy. I mean, it ends quite crushingly, but there were some scenes in there that were just so beautifully done and beautifully acted by Gillian Anderson and Mitch Pileggi and even Robert Patrick and Annabeth Gish. I mean, that episode was incredibly shippy and very moving, where it could have very easily veered over into soap opera cheesiness. And, you know, the screaming no at the end may have gone a little bit too far, but as a whole, that episode was just beautifully done, as well as the opening scene, the funeral scene in Dead Alive.
Yeah. Yeah, season 8 is, like, super shippy. I'm starting to figure that out. I mean, I've said before that I'm not a fan of season 8, but I think I'm starting to figure out that there is a different kind of shippiness. I mean, Mulder's obviously absent for the first two-thirds or so, first half of the season. And so in my mind, I always like, well, if Scully and Mulder aren't together, it's not shippy. But it's starting to dawn on me that, yeah, but everything Scully does is about Mulder.
Yeah,
and
it's shipper angst,
it's pretty,
for sure.
It's shipper angst to the nth degree. I mean, like, that's my thing. So I'm loving that. I mean, it's like, it is really intense. And it's interesting to me how I'm always kind of wondering, I mentioned this one on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, too. I like to play a little game called What Do Bystanders Think About Mulder and Scully's Relationship When They See It? And so I'm always kind of wondering in season 8, like with, you know, the other folks at the FBI, especially as it becomes more obvious that Scully is pregnant and she's extremely distraught at her partner missing. And I'm like, is everyone just knowing that what's really going on here? It almost seems like at that point, by that stage, it's kind of like we're not even pretending anymore that we don't know what's going on. It's pretty obvious that, and Scully's pretty open about it at that point too, really. It's kind of like, this is clearly not just her partner, and she's not pretending that it is, really. It's pretty clear, I think, that, you know, he's more than just her FBI partner, especially once the pregnancy becomes a bit more obvious. So, I mean, by that stage in the series, it's kind of like, yeah, we're not really pretending much anymore, so thank goodness. too bad Mulder wasn't around more for us to be able to enjoy that, but certainly season 8 and season 9, we it's like we're not pretending anymore that there's nothing going on. There clearly is.
Yeah, so... Okay, at what point, to go, let's just go for the lowest lowbrow we can go right now.
Okay,
so, let's do it. Like, what point do you think they did the deed for the first time? What do you think, when was their first time together?
That is,
like,
that
full
is
on
such a
romantic, getting it on.
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that... I don't have a really defined theory on this. I know most shippers do. It kind of, I'm more vaguely aware, sort of annoyed that we don't know. The fact that we're having this conversation and that it's valid that we do, and that if all three of us have different theories, those will all be equally valid. That just irks me a little bit on a certain level that, you know, traditionally, and I know the X-Files isn't traditional, and that's really what I love about it, so I have to remind myself of that. When you have, like, a will-they-won't-they kind of relationship, we know when they do. It's obvious. And the fact that the X-Files, it's not obvious, has always kind of irked me a little bit. It's like, ugh, you can't just, like, make one thing clear for me, can ya? It's like, you know, I kind of felt like Chris Carter was like, fine, they can have sex, but we are not going to show it, and you're going to have to figure out when it happens.
it was
kind of like, you know, I don't really want to do this, but I recognize at this point I can't stop it. So it's kind of like, all right, you guys figure it out. So I tend to kind of go with all things being the first time, just because I guess I'm all about what's on screen, and because that's the only time we see it on screen, to me, it makes sense that that's the first time, and there's some things about that episode that make me believe that, but I know there's lots of people that refer to all of season 7 as the season of secret sex, so I know there's lots of different theories about when it happens, or prior to that.
Michelle, what do you think?
I don't know. My thought is probably sometime after Fight the Future, because really that's the first that Mulder has really laid it out there. Not just, oh, I'm going to tell you this so that you won't leave. So I'm thinking season 6, definitely by season 7. But I think sometime after Fight the Future.
See, y'all are, like, way late here. Yes, I've thought about this a lot. I think they've definitely made out quite a bit in season 3. And I put my money on, like, Gethsemane Redux 2 is when they do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have a whole other podcast about this subject, because that is so much earlier than I ever would have thought. Yeah.
That'll be Shipper episode 2. So
yeah,
because that is get into the nitty gritty of all that.
Yeah, that's way earlier than I would have considered. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch them again now with that theory in mind.
Yeah. I mean, I might have some fanfic that I wrote.
All right.
Yeah.
You might have to post that, I think.
That first scene right after the credits when he like goes and talks to her and he's like, take it off, G-Woman, or whatever. And then they have that scene in her kitchen. They're like talking about this. And then it cuts to, they like make their decision about what they're going to do. And then it cuts to her at Mulder's apartment where she's IDing the body as his. But there's got to be something in between those two scenes. Like, she goes there the next morning. It's the middle of the night. They're at her apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's my special moment.
Okay. Yeah, I think you've made a strong case.
Yeah.
That's a strong case. And I'm gonna enjoy Gethsemane on a whole other level.
Right.
I mean, I always loved it because, you know, angst. But
oh, my gosh, those episodes. Love those episodes.
Yeah, I like your theory. I think it holds up.
Yep.
I mean, I think maybe more after Redux 2. Before that seems kind of creepy, like the dying woman. I don't know. Maybe that's my own hang up. But we're gonna celebrate remission afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kinda like, well, that was creepy too.
if I don't have much time left, I might as well do it. So
yep.
It could work either way.
True that.
Exactly. Well, I think we might need to call it quits here before we can. I'm sure like we could talk all day about this, right?
Sure.
We gotta cut it off.
Yeah,
I mean,
we didn't even touch on the shippiness of what was then the final episode, The Truth.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my, yeah. Oh,
I mean, I that could be a podcast in its own.
Right.
Yeah, we could totally do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we could just, I could talk for an hour just about the hallway scene in Fight the Future, actually. So.
Right?
That's, you know, I could pick apart every line and every glance, so that's the fun. the analysis is the fun part for me.
Absolutely. Shipper episode 2 coming up soon. There's definitely more to talk about here. Well, let's see, if we want to find you all online, Twitter, Jen, where can we find you to talk more about shippiness and shipper stuff?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JenXPhile, JenXPhile. And I love to analyze and to talk about shipper and non-shipper things. So come on and join the party. It's a fun place to be.
Absolutely. Michelle, how about you?
I still lurk on Twitter mostly. I'm working toward getting a little better at tweeting. You know, things other than pictures of my cat and my kids. But I'm at mmbaker13.
Awesome. We will definitely look for you there. And I'm Sarah Blair, SarahBlair. You can find me talking shipper stuff all the time. And we also have, you know, our XCast basement, X-Files basement group on Facebook, too, where we've got a lot of fun shippery discussions going on over there. So, yeah, we hope you will join us for all of that online and more, and let us know your favorite shipper moments. But until then, trust no one.
The XCast and X-Files podcast is produced and presented by Tony Black, alongside a dedicated group of podcasters and X-Files fans. You can find us on Twitter at The XCast, and on Facebook if you type in The XCast, or at our group, X-Files Basement, an XCast podcast fan group, where you can continue the discussion about all things Mulder and Scully. If you want to support the XCast further, you can now subscribe and become a patron of the show on Patreon. On Google, just type patreon.com/TheXCast. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. You'll see all of our tiers, subscription options and perks, which include early access to episodes, bonus content such as commentaries on X-Files episodes, access to a patron chat zone, and even appearing on one of our patron roundtable discussions. We would appreciate any support you can give the show, so just go to patreon.com/TheXCast to find out more. Our title music is provided courtesy of Will A, who you can find on Twitter at I am Will A Y E.